Good morning. Welcome as we come to worship today, whether you're indeed in person or whether you've joined us online. Today we continue our series looking unto Jesus in the book of Colossians, wondering today about how we deepen our faith and how we overflow whenever we're found in Jesus. Let's pray as we begin. Father God, we thank you that you showed your love amongst us by sending your one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. We thank you that he bore our sin in his body on the cross so that we might die to our sins, we might live for his righteousness, and you might realize today that it is by his wounds that we are healed. So may your presence and the power of your Spirit in this place bring transforming life to each one of us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Andy. So we continue in our series in the book of Colossians, looking unto Jesus. So far, we've seen some of those mega themes of this book being like he is all sufficient. It's in his sufficiency and his supremacy that in him we find everything that we need, not just the things that we want. And those are two distinctly different things. But we also find in Jesus that he is supreme. He is the head of all things. He is the ultimate authority. We've seen that those strange things put together of endurance, patience, and joy, all in the one sentence. Endurance, patience, and joy. We can see endurance and patience maybe fitting together. We don't often add the word joy into that, but that's a biblical joy, a Christian joy, a sense that no matter what it is I'm enduring or being patient with, I know that he is all-sufficient and all-supreme, and therefore this can be outside of me. It's not all about me. A couple of weeks ago, we were encouraged to pray very specifically for people and to tell them that we were praying for them, and to know that encouragement as maybe we heard someone else say, I've been praying for you this week. He is everything. We were to begin that adventure together, to carry on that adventure together. And last week, we heard those words marveling at Jesus, that it's not about you, it's not about me, but it is all about him. And that little strapline that we have here in Columbus Derivalgi, knowing Christ better and making him better known, sums that up quite well, doesn't it? That it's not about me, it is all about him. And so this week, we're thinking of that theme of overflowing from his fullness, overflowing in Jesus. So let's pray just before we look at this passage. Father God, we thank you that you are present with us. I think that you are sufficient for us. You're supreme in all areas of our lives. And so we pray today that by your Spirit you would inspire us afresh and anew, that we would catch a glimpse of heaven and see you more clearly today. Not my words, but your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. That phrase, overflowing, I wonder, do you see overflowing as a positive thing or a negative thing? Is overflowing something that's positive? Hands up. Or something that's negative? Hands up for positive. Hands up for negative. Oh, okay, right. Yes, so if you live beside a river and there's a lot of rain and the river's overflowing, that'd be a pretty negative thing, wouldn't it? But if you go to Rohan's and Port Stewart Strand or Port Stewart Prom and you get an ice cream and the cone is overflowing with ice cream, that is a very positive thing, as long as it's cream egg ice cream. Not mint choc chip or any of those other things. Overflowing can be, we can see it as a positive thing or we can see it as a negative thing, depending on the circumstances. So what does it mean to overflow in Jesus? Well, it starts with him and in him. We can't overflow with something if we don't have it ourselves. We can't overflow with something if we don't have it ourselves. Can't overflow with thankfulness if we're always grumpy. We can't overflow with generosity because we're not all from Ballymena. We can't overflow with generosity because if we're tight with what it is that we have and we hold on to it. We can't overflow with forgiveness if we harbor it to ourselves. We can't overflow with joy if we constantly are in a situation of negativity and mourning. We can't overflow with peace if we find ourselves in a constant state of turmoil. And so unless we have something for ourselves, we can't overflow with it. And that is true with Jesus. We cannot overflow with Jesus if we do not know him for ourselves. Because then eventually it will become hollow and shallow and people will see through it. But if we knew and we carry the presence of Jesus within us as Christians, then the overflowing is a very natural thing. Jesus will come out in our conversations. He will come out in our actions, in our words, in how we live our lives. Because our desire, our passion for him to be known by us increases, and for us to make him better known increases even more. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Rooted and built up in him. The overflowing begins has a firm foundation. It is rooted and it is strong. And that begins as we establish our own maturity in Jesus. And as we see in this passage, part of what Paul is doing to the early church in Colossae is that he is telling them they need to become responsible for their own faith in Jesus, for their own maturity. They need to take a stand and say, actually, it is my responsibility. It's not somebody else, not just somebody else's responsibility to make sure that I grow in Jesus. It is my own responsibility to do that. And so whenever we are rooted and strong and have a strong foundation in him and built up in him, then that overflowing with him begins to become a more natural thing. Because Jesus has given us the fullness of his measure. And maybe you've heard me pray a number of times from the front, or maybe I've been with you as I have prayed, that the fullness of his presence would dwell in that place, in that moment. And where the fullness of Jesus' measure rests, then there is nothing lacking. Because everything that we need is there for that moment. The fullness of his measure dwells. Jesus put it slightly differently in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, the thief only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come to give you life and life in all of its fullness. Not a half-hearted life, not a life with a little bit of him, but life in all of its fullness. So why don't we overflow more often? Preachers included, as he asked that question. Why do we not overflow more often? Why do I find some days that I overflow with negative things more than positive things? Verse 8 says, "See to it that no one else takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than in Christ. Sometimes we don't overflow with Jesus. We don't overflow with the positive things of thankfulness, of grace, of generosity, of joy, because we are held captive by the enemy. The devil wants to hold us down. He wants to put a cap on that overflowing. He wants to keep it all in because he knows if we begin to overflow with those things, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, and so forth, if we overflow with those things, then the world sees Jesus more clearly. Because thankfulness, generosity, forgiveness, joy, peace, those things that we've kind of mentioned already, and there are so many other things that we can overflow with whenever we know Jesus. Those things are contagious. If you spend time with someone who is thankful, you have a tendency to become a little bit more thankful yourself. You spend time with someone who is generous, you have a tendency to become a little bit more generous yourself. If you spend time with someone who has joy, you tend to smile a little bit more than whenever you began. So if you hear nothing else today, from any of the words that I speak, from any of the words that we sing or pray or the liturgy that we use as we come to draw around the Lord's table, not the words of the preacher, if you hear nothing else today, hear these words from Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10. And you have been given the fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. You have been given the fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Remember last week, Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That fullness, that scripture says, is dwells in you. The scripture says that victory is proclaimed for you, over you, and in you. Scriptures say that praise rises up within you, bubbles out of you. None of this happens because of you or what you can do. Verse 11 and 12. And this is where this particular passage gets a little bit more kind of, what's that bit about? I get the overflowing and the fullness thing, but in him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. It's basically saying that the old traditions pre-Jesus, the things that we would have had to do if Jesus did not come and die for us, the sacrifices that we continually had to make, the people of God continually had to make, the rules that they had to keep, that Jesus has taken those things and he has made the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And that's why we remember his life, his death, and his resurrection today. It's because of what Christ has already done. That's how we can receive this fullness. And so Paul's using these words around circumcision and dying to self and baptism and being raised through faith by the power and putting off an old sinful nature, because those are all things that the early church could hold to and could see and could understand, because those are the things that they were called to do. But Paul is saying here, those things are now done for us in his sacrifice for us. That's how we have the fullness that dwells in us. The scripture says that we receive Jesus, he comes to live within us, and his Spirit now dwells in us. And he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Even whenever you didn't deserve it, even whenever you don't feel that you deserve it, Jesus welcomes you in. That's an amazing truth. That's an amazing truth. If you were dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Jesus. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us, that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. We love because he first loved us. The scriptures say that in 1 John 4. Romans 5 tells us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And the list could go on. We could quote those verses of scriptures that reiterate that truth today. And even whenever we don't feel we deserve it, Jesus welcomes us in. And he says, I have paid the price. Receive my fullness. And so in your frail, unworthy state, mine too, God meets us. He redeems us. He rejoices over us. He claims victory over us. He defeats the things that hold us back. He sets us free. So why hold back? Why refrain? Why worry about what someone else might think? Verse 6 says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthening in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. As I said to the children earlier, we can never run out of Jesus. But you can also never outgrow Jesus. There's always so much more of him yet to come. Plant yourself in him. Feast in him. Be built up in him. Obey him. Receive forgiveness from him. Live life in all of its fullness because he gives you that fullness. Today, we pray that his fullness would dwell in each one of us. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you. Thank you that you are present and here. Thank you that you're offering the fullness of your measure to each one of us. Help us to take time to receive from you today. In your precious name we pray. We conclude with a verse of scripture we've heard a number of times already today. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen.